The new concepts for testing and prototyping are part of a reorganization of the Navy's capability development infrastructure that Admiral Jonathan Greener, the outgoing Chief of Naval Operations, ordered at the end of June. Four new warfighting development centers will report directly to, in Navy parlance, the operational type commanders for their specialties: undersea warfare, aviation, surface warfare, and expeditionary warfare. Rear Admiral Matt Winter, the Chief of Naval Research, says his office is populating those new centers with all domain science advisors. Their job will be to connect the Navy's planners for demonstrations and exercises with scientists at the Office of Naval Research, so that when a new technology comes along, ONR scientists have a venue to quickly test or prototype it.
But there are demonstrations and experiments of immature technologies, as well as application of prototype maturer technologies. And so we're working with each of those WDC commanders and Fleet Forces Command from an ONR engagement strategy to ensure that the technologies as they come forward, these technology pushes as well as the pulls, they're aware, and we can get them on the docket so that we can actually do prototype demonstrations during fleet exercises as a repeatable, institutionalized way.
It's a different process than the one the Navy has in place right now, which isn't much of a process at all.
We do predominantly, mostly, not ad hoc, but we do it where certain individuals know each other. So that's a new organizational, innovative as it is, methodology to get into those exercises, as well as CNO's push to us to get things wet sooner.
Winter spoke at a forum on the future of naval capabilities hosted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Vice Admiral Joseph Aucoin, the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Warfare Systems, says the creation of the new centers are just one of a few recent changes the Navy's made to improve its ability to onboard new technologies and ensure the service's operational arms are aware of and able to onboard the capabilities being developed by its research arms without duplicating one another's work. In April, for example, the Navy created a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Unmanned Systems and a new military staff office within his organization to manage emerging technologies in that technology area.
It's going to take all the stakeholders, all the operators in the unmanned world in all domains, and put them under one hat so that we can develop better synergy. You know, we looked at all the things going on in the unmanned world. There's like over 300 different actions taking place. We want to combine all that so that we're not building ground stations that are unique. But that's only the start. We need to go beyond unmanned. We need to use emerging technology better. And so that N99, want them to go into how can we harness better emerging technology, get demonstrators, and get it out to the fleet, and have a willingness to occasionally fail. And so that we're standing it up now. It's got that office will be in place in September, but that's where we want to take that. And there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
Among the Navy's top research priorities, Winter listed directed energy, electric weaponry, and undersea dominance. There, he said he'd like to see subterranean resupply and logistics networks throughout the world that are so interconnected they resemble the U.S. interstate highway system.
Thousands of miles of logistical networks to allow large-scale deployment of UUVs, allowing them to communicate, engage, resupply, have leave, take leave, do their mission. Those technologies are focused around the same technologies that support our directed energy, our unmanned systems, and our electric weapons. Why is that? I look at S&T and science and technology as domain agnostic. The phenomenologies in a hydrodynamic domain are similar to an aerodynamic, are similar to a vacuum. And so that precious dollar that we invest and that our scientists utilize in that basic applied and advanced research, we make sure that we extract as the 3 to 4 times the ROI out of that dollar by applying it across the board.
The Office of Naval Research is also highly interested in the electromagnetic spectrum, both in terms of new electronic warfare capabilities and in devising new ways to use the wireless spectrum for military purposes. Winter declined to describe the Navy's spectrum research in much detail, since most of its work in that area is classified. But Aucoin says the service needs to seriously think about the spectrum from a defensive perspective, too. The fleet, he says, has taken for granted for a long time that it will always have plenty of bandwidth and that enemies won't be able to interfere with their communications.
And we have to have better discipline. Over the last 15 years, we've grown very comfortable with just going wherever we need, having all the bandwidth, all the pipes, because we've been fighting these two wars over land. Before that, during the Cold War, we did practice a lot of discipline that we have has gone out of favor, and we need to reinstill that. That right now, we're pretty overweight with demand for those services. And so the first thing, I think, is we need to be much more efficient, that we can really come down on our consumption of bandwidth and be able to work in a comms-denied environment. And you may not get a VTC. You may not get all the streaming video that you want. You know, one of the biggest things that we need to be concerned about is precision navigation timing. If we lose that, then things can really go awry, not just with command and control, but with all our munitions, with our weapon systems, if we don't have accurate timing. And so there's some pretty good capabilities that we're looking at. I'm not sure if you talk here, but what can we do if GPS goes down? That is a primary concern of ours.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.